Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity to spend time with you in your word. We know you're faithful. We know that anything that's accomplished tonight, it'll be all you. So we're grateful for that. Just ask you to have your way. We know that you have a plan, and we know that you fulfill your plans. So we thank you now. We'll give you the praise now and forever in Jesus' name. When I was a little kid, I learned this little ditty. It's not really scriptural, but I liked it. It says, I shot an arrow into the air, and where it landed, only God knows where. And I just remember it because I liked it, really. But it gave me the thought, people say a lot of things, and they have an effect. Shoot out arrows into the air, and you'll never know who it hits or who it affects. But God knows. And I thought about when you come up here to this pulpit, many times, all the time really, the speaker is also shooting out arrows into the congregation. We all have needs. We all have desires. And it's amazing when we're giving prayer requests, just like our brother just did, and we make these requests, and they're like arrows going out, needs going out. Of course, God hears every one of them, and he's the only one that knows all of them, but they're like little arrows. And whether it's here or online, everybody can hear them. But God left us a message concerning that. In Isaiah 55:11, he says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God's word. God's word. In Proverbs 25:11, it's called apples of gold and pitchers of silver. I mean, when do you ever feel better than when you hear God's word? Whether you're by yourself or in a congregation, just hearing God's word is an encouragement for you. But I didn't come up here to talk about apples or arrows. I came to talk about something this congregation is well acquainted with, and that's worship. So bear with me, you Berean saints, while I shoot out some arrows to you. First of all, what is worship? Vine's Concise Dictionary defines the word worship as proskuneo, that is pros, which means towards, and kuneo, which means to kiss. Proskuneo, to come towards, to kiss. It's like two lovers walking toward each other. And if you ever want to get into a battle or a struggle, try to come in between two lovers or separate them. You won't have much success. That's a hard battle to win. And this made me think of Romans 1:18. And that says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And all that's really talking about are those who know the truth, and for one reason or another, whether selfish or just don't want to tell it, they suppress the truth. They don't put it out there, and they know it. And you think about that. I just spoke about the two lovers. God loves us. He sent his son to the cross for us. How dare we keep a letter, a love letter, that he wants us to know from someone else who should know it? I can't imagine how he feels. You talk about long suffering. Well, anyway, that's why I say be thankful for every place that preaches the whole counsel of God, for every preacher that stands for the truth. But some would seem to have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Read about that in 2 Timothy 3:5. The Bible says, from such turn away. Why does it say that? What good are they going to do you? All you'll do is waste your time. All of us know someone who's in a situation or a meeting where you know they're not getting the truth. and they want to tell you about it. You don't even want to hear it. It's wasting your time. That's why he says, from such turn away. Don't get locked up into that. Don't get caught up in it. You have the truth, the whole counsel of God. That's what you want to be wrapped up in. It's kind of like fake lovers, or maybe one is faking the love and the other isn't. Isn't that tragic? You see couples. What if you see one or a couple, you know one is in love and you know the other one is not? That's kind of tragic, don't you think? Well, Daniel 2:22 says, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. See, eventually it's going to come out. Eventually it's going to be shown for what it is. So why not go for the best? If you love, love fully. But then there's the true love. And I wanted to read Song of Solomon, part of it, not all of it, in the fifth chapter, starting with the ninth verse. And this is the Shulamite speaking, and she's been challenged about her beloved. She must be talking about it an awful lot, because they ask her. They say, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women. That's us, you guys. He's talking about us. O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? She says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet and smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as a bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. That's a very intimate description. That's knowing somebody through and through. But he has a response for her. And that's in the seventh chapter. The first verse says, how beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools of Heshbon by the gates of Bath-Rabbin. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. King is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love for delights. Thy stature is likened to a palm tree, and thy breasts to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breasts shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to sleep. I mean, they know each other very intimately. They must have thought about each other, dreamed about each other. How do you feel about the Lord? You ever think about him? You ever dream about him? Just during the day, just walking along or getting up in the morning, just thinking about the Lord. He does for you. He thinks about you all the time. He knows you intimately, and he wants you to know him intimately, to be able to describe him just like she described him. And he wants you to hear him like he just described her. It sounds to me like the kind of couple that just can't keep their hands off each other. They love each other. And this all leads to the place that everybody knows about. And I really don't need to read it, but I will. That is Revelations 19, 7 through 9, where it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." That's how it's going to end. And that's for all of us. If you want it, you can have it. It's offered to you. You have been espoused to Christ. So, next, who do we worship? Deuteronomy 6:13 says, "Thou shalt fear," and that's reverential fear, reverential trust, "the Lord thy God, and serve him, and swear by his name." So God created a need. Have you ever known God to give you a need and not fill it? Think about it. He even tells you in Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So who's filling the need that he gave you? And that's need, not want. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Sounds like creative rights to me. How about you? 1 Peter 1:18 tells us that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That sounds like redemptive rights. Surely we can see why we love him, because he first loved us, as it tells us in 1 John 4:19. And Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him." So how do we worship? 2 Samuel 7:18 says, "David went in and sat before the Lord." I like that verse, because when I first read that, I had just come in kind of new. And the thought of going to the Lord and just sitting down kind of just seemed strange to me. I thought about going down and getting on my knees and, you know, throwing up my hands, worshiping the Lord. So David went in and sat before the Lord. So I wonder why he did that. Turns out that Nathan the prophet had just told him that God had told him, telling this, that God said he was going to establish his kingdom forever. Imagine that. Imagine God telling you something like that. Your kingdom is going to be established forever. It just blew him away. He just had to sit down for a minute. And has God ever told you something that just made you stop and say, "Let me sit down for a minute," or just want to stomp and shout? Let me rephrase the question. Have you ever read Paul's gospel? Have you ever been in and looked around the treasure room and said, "Mine? All mine?" Really? The next time you're in there reading, when you read "we" or "the church," replace it with "I" or "me" and read it out loud. I think it's going to have a different effect on you when you take it personally. Also, I just wanted to mention that when David sat before the Lord, if you look that up in Strong's, it's number 3427, you find out that can mean to marry. To marry. He sat down before the Lord. It means to marry. What do you think that means? What's he talking about? I think you already know. Another one of my favorites I find in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. That's Hannah's prayer for a man child. and hers was a silent but fervent prayer. Matter of fact, it was so fervent that her husband thought she was drunk. She must have been really moving her mouth and getting agitated bodily. She must have been going. But what was really going on is that she meant business. That prayer turned into the prophet Samuel. So don't give up. When you go to the Lord, mean it. Be fervent about it, because he means it. And Matthew 11:12 says, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Amen. When you go to the Lord, do you sometimes get violent about it? It's just like you're attacking heaven. You really mean it. That's how he wants you to come. Be fervent. He knows how you feel. Are you just playing? Do you kind of want it? Or do you really want it? If you're fervent enough, it'll be evident. So James 5:16 shows that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Hazel, remember I told you that that availeth much, or rather Roxanne, I was telling you about that. I like how where it says availeth much can also mean exerts much influence. So when you're praying, you want to exert much influence. You want to have an influence on what you're asking the Lord about. Not just kinda. You want to try to exert much influence. So do it fervently. So whether silent or out loud, when you worship, mean business. 1 John 5:14 says, "If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." This is his will. Become acquainted with it. So don't ask for crazy. Don't ask for $1 million or something like that. It's been said many times from this own very pulpit that if God gave you something like $1 million or something crazy, it would be like giving a baby a box of razor blades. That baby may want it, but think how destructive it would be. So ask according to his will. And if something is not quite right and you have a complaint, go tell your head about it. He considers that worship too. So when do we worship? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Now we know we can't always be on our knees. So how do we pray without ceasing? Thought about that for a while. And the Lord kind of showed my heart that in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." That means two things for sure. You have to have an attitude of prayer, and you must know your Bible. You have to be ready to buy up your opportunities, or as it tells you in Colossians 4:5, redeem the time. You have to be ready. And which of these can you do without prayer? Do you think that whether it's our pastor or anyone that comes to this pulpit, or you, when you're out in the world or just outside, don't need prayer or don't offer prayer before you go into that situation? Everyone does. And believe me, being up here, you pray before you come up here. Amen. You know, the people say, "Well, I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for you, sister." And you're thankful. But you learn and you know that God has everything under control. You don't put your confidence. Our pastor, when he comes out here, his confidence is not in Pastor Jesse. His confidence is in the Lord. He's trusting the Lord that what he says is the word of God. That what you hear, God has prepared your heart to hear it. And God has everything under control. So you trust him just like you trust him when you're outside or when you're on your job and you're dealing with someone or a situation. and it may seem maybe a little bit out of control. Well, God has that under control too. All of it. There are no surprises with God. As a matter of fact, when you find yourself in situations like that, what is the first thing that flies out of your mouth? Isn't it Jesus? It's the first thing that comes out. That's the first name that you call, and you should call, because he is your help. He meets all of your need, every one. So finally, or I shouldn't say finally, but what do these appointments, and that's what I call them, really mean? I want to show you. In 2 Timothy, and all of these are familiar with you, to you. In 2 Timothy 2:12, it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Okay. Well, Philippians 1:29, again, one that everyone is familiar with, says, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for it, with him, for his sake. So it sounds like an appointment to me. He's ordered these sufferings. And then in Psalms 37:23, one that you hear a lot around here, it says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. In other words, all these things, the situation that you're in now, all these things that seem like a heartache or pressure or a point that you just can't deal with, I just read it. The Lord ordered that. He planned that. He wants to show you what he can do. And sometimes, most of the time, we have to be pressed out of measure beyond strength. And maybe in so much that you despair of life. You just can't figure out how to get around it, how to make it work, how to stop the pain. Well, only one person can. And you all know who that is. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your help. He is your strength. He is everything that you need. What do you need tonight? Where are you tonight? What do you want from him? Ask him. You know, when you ask him, that's worship. He considers that worship. Your life is no accident. This is where you're supposed to be. You say you want the bride? Well, if you want to have it, you can. It's yours. It's been promised you. So I wanted to leave you with this thought. In Hebrews 10:24-25 shows a valuable reason why we go to a meeting that preaches the whole counsel of God. See, some say, I can do all that at home. I don't need to go to a meeting for any of that. But let's read Hebrews 10. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see that day approaching. So maybe it was by the hearing of preaching, or through a song that was sung, or the choir, or the hearing of a testimony, or maybe a loving greeting that you received or gave out. It was just what you needed, but you missed it because you weren't there. Remember, God doesn't give you a need that he won't fill. 1 Corinthians 12:14 lets us know that we all have gifts for the body. And one more thing, they all benefit one another. In other words, we all need each other. So it's not just to come here to hear the word of God, but as we mingle and fellowship one with another, we fellowship and give the other saints the things that we need. So I hope I shot some arrows out, got something that you needed. And so we'll close, and I just want to mention that after we close, if you have any need prayer, come on down. We'll lay hands on you, pray for you. Brother Dean's out there. So go ahead and, brother, you close out in prayer for